Our present conference, therefore, is on the Holy Eucharist is prayer, subtitled, The Holy Eucharist is our most powerful prayer. We might remind ourselves that there are so many aspects to the subject of the Holy Eucharist, somehow associated with prayer, that we have to be selective. And I thought we would concentrate not on the conjunctive, the Holy Eucharist and prayer, but on the definitive, the Holy Eucharist is prayer. By way of prelude, I think it bears some reflection on how we are justified to use the statement, the Holy Eucharist is prayer. We are so accustomed to praying at the sacrifice of the Mass, praying when we receive Holy Communion, and praying before the Blessed Sacrament, that we're liable to forget. And what a lapse of memory this would be, that before, long before, we attach prayer to the Eucharist, we should identify the Holy Eucharist as prayer. It is, and not just the indefinite article, a prayer. It is the prayer. In fact, the most powerful source of grace we have on earth. I want to assure you, this is no ordinary conference. Why do I have to keep all my conferences from being blasé? In order to do some justice to an immense subject, let's divide our topic into the three obvious parts. The Holy Eucharist is a prayer for surrender to God's will. The Holy Eucharist is a prayer for obtaining love. The Holy Eucharist is a prayer for intimacy with Jesus Christ. Before we go on, however, let me note one important middle term here that bridges what we've so far said with what, please God, we will all, including the speaker, more deeply understand. The Holy Eucharist is a sacrament. Indeed, Felt tells us, we believe that the Eucharist is the principal sacrament. We must indeed first be baptized before the Eucharist can be profitably, say, received. But over the centuries, the Church has been telling her members, the other six sacraments are directed to the Eucharist. As we say in Latin, the Eucharist is in ordine ad Eucharistiam. It has been ordained or instituted. Every one of the other six sacraments toward the Eucharist. But we're liable to forget, however. And I can tell you the present Holy Father has been luminously clear that when we speak of the Eucharist as a sacrament, we should always, and from now on, without failing, understand by that statement that the Eucharist is a sacrament to mean that it is a threefold sacrament. As the Pope tells us, and I've now begun to write and teach, the Eucharist is a sacrifice sacrament, a communion sacrament, and presence sacrament. Keeping always in mind, the moment we use the word sacrament as Catholics, we mean something in the sensibly perceptible order that signifies the conferral of grace. And watch this. And that produces, that's the Catholic verb, produces the grace it signifies. No mere symbolism this, no mere manifestation, no mere indication. Produces, causes. We go back to our triad. And we begin first by saying that the Holy Eucharist is the prayer for surrender to God's will. The sacrifice of the Mass, and this is the first premise, the sacrifice of the Mass is a sacrament just because the Mass is offered and the ritual, which by definition is sensibly perceptible, is performed just because that sensibly perceptible rite is enacted. Therefore, in virtue of that rite, R-I-T-E, grace is conferred. In other words, the Mass gives grace just because the Mass is offered. It is not in my notes. Let me plead with you to ask our Lord to inspire all priests to daily offer the sacrifice of the Mass. One of the principal themes of my retreat to priests . If a Mass is not offered, only God knows how many, but this is our faith, millions are deprived of the grace they would have received had the Mass been offered. Why is the Mass the sacrifice which confers grace? Because it is Christ's prayer of self-surrender on the cross, which he mysteriously repeats. We prefer the verb reenacts. He's making a real surrender of himself to his Heavenly Father every time that Mass is offered. We have come to so commonly associate prayer with words, to almost identify. Oh, prayer as a verbal prayer. No. The most potent prayer before God is the prayer of action. Christ's death on the cross was the infallible prayer of the Son of God in human form, pleading by the shedding of His blood for the redemption of the world. And that, we believe, is what Christ, with the human will that He has on the altar when Mass is offered, that's what He does. Except now, watch this. The graces that Christ wanted to obtain, merit, gain for a sinful world, were merited, were gained, were obtained on the cross. But those now merited graces have to be communicated. It's all the difference between having $1 million in a bank account or invested and have access to that riches. The riches is there, obtained by the bloody prayer of Christ dying on Calvary. The channeling of that grace, its communication, is mainly through the sacrifice of the Mass. Who receives this grace? The better question would be, who does not receive the grace? The answer is everyone. Everyone receives grace from every Mass offered throughout the world. We go on. Do we need the grace of self-surrender to Christ? That is the principal grace poured out in the Mass. Do we need it? Do we need it? Indeed. We need to surrender what is sinful. We need to surrender what is not necessarily sinful, but harmful. We need to surrender what is permissible. But if we sacrifice, it would be more pleasing to God, even when there is no obligation to do so. All of these marvelous graces are poured out from the Mass in order to give us what we all so terribly need, to let go. Let go of what? Let go of creatures. Either those that are a positive obstacle to our service of God, or at least hinder our greater response to God. That is why, over the years, I've stopped counting. I've been ordained 38 years. And it was started in my first year of ordination. Whenever it is possible, either physically or morally, I try to hear one Mass besides saying my own every day. And you can't imagine the adjustments in time and schedule that I make in order to make that possible. My favorite method is to so adjust myself that I will offer Mass just before a priest offers his Mass. I finish my Mass, then go to confession, and then hear his Mass. That's my ideal setup. And there are constitutions which I am happy to relate. Constitutions of religious institutes that will prescribe, expect, that the members of that community hear more than one Mass each day. Not a bad idea. Once you believe what we're saying, have a Mass just because it is offered infallibly confers grace. Which is why also I've encouraged communities who believe in what I am here saying to make their convent chapels a haven for priests to offer, well, in plain arithmetic, more than one Mass a day. I sometimes wondered why the Lord put me through my graduate studies in science before I was happily placed into theology. You get mathematical about your faith. Part 2. The Holy Eucharist is a prayer for love. This is the principal fruit of Holy Communion. To increase our love for God and others. Just because we receive Christ, we receive this grace. Logically, who is Christ? He is love incarnate. St. John's definition of God, God is love. Perfect. If God is love and God became man, well then, love became man. That's easy. By receiving Holy Communion, we receive an increase of the love that love incarnate confers on those who receive Him. Consequently, we should all receive and tell others to receive daily. I've got the word daily underlined. Why? Because we daily need to be patient and forgiving and understanding and kind. Three gentle adjectives to describe what, for most of us, is the hardest part of living in this valley of tears. Oh, it's thrilling, but it's hard living with people. Not humanity, people. Married people need this grace. Single people need it. Religious need it. Priests, bishops need the grace. The grace of what? The grace of loving God by loving others. My favorite way of combining the first and second commandments of the law. How much of this grace we receive depends on how well we are disposed between communions. And to think that we should be in this age, since the first Sunday of Advent, 1983, when the new code of canon law came out, to the best of my theological knowledge, this is the first time in the Church's legislative history that we may receive Holy Communion more than once a day. Dear Lord, you know we need the grace all we can get. How much we receive depends on how well disposed we are between communions. I dare say the principal reason we are to struggle with our selfish human nature, the main purpose of laborious effort at self-control, of biting the tongue or the lips, of controlling even the muscles of the face when someone verbally slaps us, is that having practiced such virtue as we can, we might be better prepared to receive more grace, to love more deeply and more selflessly in the next Holy Communion we receive. The spiritual life is mainly a preparation of the human heart for the reception of grace from the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. Here, the Holy Eucharist as the sacramentum amoris, the sacrament of love. Finally, the Holy Eucharist is not just a prayer, but the prayer for intimacy with Jesus Christ. Each of the sacraments has its own distinctive grace which it confers. The Holy Eucharist, being a sacrament three times over, confers three kinds of grace: of self-surrender, of selfless love, and here, of intimacy with Jesus Christ. This is the Eucharist as real presence. What is the real presence? Better, who is the real presence? Jesus Christ. He is present among us so we might become more intimate with Him. God Himself, the all-wise and omnipotent God, could not have invented a means of drawing closer to us. What does He want? That we might draw closer to Him. He is really here. He is really here. He's really here. And best of all, He's really here. Why? so we might be really there. Where? Where He is. Again, as with all the sacraments, so here. It depends on our faith. The deeper and stronger our faith, as we come to Him here, the stronger our faith in His real presence, the more grace we receive from Him in what we have come to casually call the Blessed Sacrament. He will make Himself more deeply known to us. After a while, I found out, if you're going to talk publicly, unless you're going to indulge in pious platitudes, you have to become autobiographical. Let the chips fall where they may. Most of my writing over the years, practically all of it, before the Blessed Sacrament, He knows, Lord, forgive me for saying this, far more, what a safe statement, than I do. I wouldn't have the gall to write anything for publication. On my own, there's not enough here. What He won't teach us, He reveals His secrets to us. Things He will reveal nowhere else and to no one else except to those who in faith come to Him in His real presence. He'll make us enjoy Him more. He'll make us willing to do anything to please Him. Ah, that's my definition of love. And you love exactly as much as you're willing to do anything. All you have to do is find out a whisper, a glance, an intimation. Those who love Christ make fools of themselves. They don't care. A closing prayer. Lord Jesus, really present in the Blessed Sacrament, really offering Yourself in the sacrifice of the Mass, and really coming to us in Holy Communion, deepen our faith in the power of the Holy Eucharist to bring us closer to Yourself in time, so as to assure us of our possessing You and being possessed by You in that Eucharist unveiled, that we shall no longer have to believe, but we'll see You, our Lord and Savior, as You really are, for ages without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.